Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Rose of Lima in Wrangell, Alaska. Today is the memorial of St. John Bosco, the founder of the Salesian Order, the 31st of January, 2012, Tuesday. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and he stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came forward. Seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at home at the point of death. Please come, lay your hands on her, that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him. There was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She had suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors, and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew worse. She had heard about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. She said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." Immediately, her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "See how the crowd is pressing upon you, and yet you ask, 'Who has touched me?'" He looked around to see who had done it. The woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid, just have faith." He did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he caught sight of a commotion, people weeping loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out. He took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. He took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." The girl, a child of 12, arose immediately and walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded and gave strict orders that no one should know this, and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, again, we have fantastic readings. I love how we're working our way through 2 Samuel, and we see Saul, who died and brought about tears to David, even though Saul, at the end of his life, was trying to take David's life. David weeps over Saul. And again, we have this same king. Now, King David, who weeps over the death of his son who had seized the throne and was trying to take David's life. David weeps over his friend Saul, his friend Jonathan. David weeps over the death of Absalom, his son, who is trying to take his kingdom and his life. In fact, he says how he wished he had died in place of his son. Are we really ready to lay down our lives as Jesus asked and as Jesus did for us? Right? For no greater love is there than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. David was willing to do this to save the life of his son. What are we willing to do to save a life? How willing are we to respect and care for those, even those who strongly disagree with us? In today's gospel, we have what's a little sandwich, a story within a story. We'll talk about, I guess, the center of the sandwich first, the woman with the hemorrhage. For 12 years, she suffered at the hands of doctors and never being cured, only losing all of her money, I guess, in medical bills. How true is that today, often? And yet, this woman has heard about Jesus, heard he's a healer, and knew deep down inside that she would be healed if she just touched his cloak. And she does. And in fact, she's healed. Jesus feels power go out of him and he turns around. You can see him in the crowd, everybody pressing in on him, saying, "Who touched me?" The disciples were like, "Lord, everybody's touching you. You're in a crowd being pushed around." And he said, "No, who touched me? Someone pulled power out of me by their faith." The woman shows up in fear and trembling, and Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go and be cured of your illness." What a tremendous gift. Jesus always searching for ways to set us free. We have something better than Jesus' cloak here, right? When we come forward to the Eucharist, we receive in our hands and on our lips Jesus, the one who heals the woman with the hemorrhage, the one who raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. We have this one, not only to touch, but to consume. And in consuming Jesus, we are again set free and filled with new life. Let's be mindful of that. Whenever we are feeling less, whenever we are troubled, whenever we are sick with any kind of illness, let us come to Christ in the Eucharist and be set free. The rest of that story is the healing of the synagogue official's daughter. Jairus comes to Jesus, his daughter at the point of death. Jesus, on the way, heals the woman with the hemorrhage and gets a report that, in fact, Jairus' daughter has died. Jesus says, "Disregard that. Have faith. Let's go and see your daughter." He comes in, he sends out the professional weepers and wailers, and he says, "She's only asleep." I wonder how often we see death as that opportunity to sleep with Christ. And in fact, if we're sleeping with Christ, we're alive. So Jesus says to her, "Little girl, get up, arise." And in fact, she does. We also see this funny thing in Mark's gospel. Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone." Well, how are you not going to tell someone that this healer came into your house and raised your daughter from the dead? How are you not going to tell someone that you've been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years and now you are healed merely by touching his cloak? Jesus is pointing out when he says that he didn't come to perform miracles. He came to set us free of sin and death. And those are far more important, for they keep us from eternal life. Let us be mindful when we receive the Eucharist that this one desires us to be made whole, and more, desires us to join him in heaven. Today's saint is Saint John Bosco, the founder of the Salesian Order. He was born to a peasant family in Piedmont, Italy. After the death of his father, he was raised by his mother. The seeds of John's vocation were evident in early life. At the age of 9, he had a dream, which he managed to tame the crowd of unruly boys after receiving encouragement from the Blessed Virgin. "Softly, softly," she told him, "if you wish to win them, take your shepherd's staff and lead them to pasture." Gradually, even as an adolescent, he discerned a call to care for poor boys, to help them with their religious instruction, and inspire them to lead healthy and morally upright lives. After his ordination, John continued to feel this special call to care for poor children. He established an oratory to house hundreds of homeless boys, and from this, he went on to organize workshops to impart practical skills and employment. His dedication drew admiration and support, and eventually a band of dedicated assistants with whom he formed the new religious congregation named for St. Francis de Sales. This Salesian order grew in number, and eventually their community spread throughout Italy and across the world. There are many Salesian high schools here in the United States. He died on January 31st, 1888, and was canonized in 1934. Saint John Bosco, pray for us. Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you and have a great day.